This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Darren Rizzi and Clint Kubiak will be our assistant coach, the offensive coordinator. Bobby's at the Silver Slipper Casino. I'm in studio, and Darren Rizzi's on the line with the Saints head coach. Coach, welcome to the show.
Guys, happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
You bet. 14-14 tie into the fourth quarter turns into a 35-14 win. Second straight, 4-7 now overall. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll work hard not to make this the Taysom Hill show. Going to be hard because the man was pretty impressive in pretty much everything yesterday. Seven carries, 138 yards to me. 19.7 yards a carry, eight receptions for 50 and the kickoff return for 42. I mean, he's 34 years old. It's just, I don't know how you have enough adjectives for him.
Yeah, running out of things to say about Taysom, and they're all positive. Just again, you know, people talk about, you know, what position is this guy, what is he, what can he, and really he's just a really, really outstanding football player. That's what he is. He's an old school throwback type of guy, and you know, listen, there's nothing he can't do. I mean, if he had to go out there at a pinch, he could kick off. He could long snap. He's our backup holder. And one of the things that gets lost, he rushes punts really well, blocked punts in his career. I mean, this guy is just a great guy to have on the team. I'm glad we have him, and not surprised whatsoever by the success he had yesterday.
You know, Coach Rizzi, I look at always the turnover margin. Now, we were able to overcome that. We were minus two. Taysom was a part of that. But the one area, I could say when we have the bye, then we're going to play the Rams. Can we run the ball, and can we stop the run? I'm telling you, that's going to go a long way. If you look at coming into the game overall in the season, we were giving up 5.1 yards a carry. We were getting 4.3. Not so much. We were fortunate to beat Atlanta. But I said, we got to flip that, you know, as far as stopping the run and running the football. Well, we did that yesterday against the Browns. We averaged 7.6 yards a carry and only gave up 3.3. If we do that now, I'd say turnovers do matter. But if we do that one thing, now I know Matthew Stafford, they're going to pass the ball and try and exploit our secondary, considering the success they had last season. But I still think if we can run the ball and stop the run, that's a good formula going forward.
Yeah, Bobby, I couldn't agree more with you. That was, you know, we had three things as a team going into the game that we focused on, you know, how we really felt that we could win the game against the Browns. And, you know, and that was one of them, win the line of scrimmage, because, you know, as we talked about, I think last week, that's been something that, you know, we hadn't done well. And just a little bit, you know, inconsistent with it. And so, you know, if you had told me they were going to come into the game and they were going to rush the ball for 60-something yards and we were going to have 200-plus, I would have told you we were going to win the game. Now, obviously, there's other factors. You mentioned the turnovers. I think, you know, one of the big things we did early was get that fourth down stop. That's no different than a turnover. It doesn't go down as a turnover, but it is a turnover. And so that was a big one. Plus, we had another fourth down stop later in the game. And so I think that kind of neutralized our two turnovers, if you will. But, you know, really, when you look at that game yesterday, you know, the game was probably a lot closer there in the third quarter. It was tied up, obviously, because I felt like, you know, we had the big hand in that. We gave up the explosive plays, and we turned the ball over twice down in their red zone. That was really the difference at that point. We've been playing, you know, fairly well, minus a few plays. So we got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot, but I agree. We got to make sure we can run the football and stop the run. It all starts there.
Now, Coach Rizzi, I don't know. You got some mojo going forward. I don't know, voodoo economics, or however you describe it. But in two games in a row, you look at the opposing kickers, they missed three field goals. One week after, you know, Koo, the South Korean, he missed a couple of field goals, another one blocked, and then Dustin Hopkins. I mean, all of a sudden, I don't know, the Rizzy Hex, I don't know how you, the Rizzler, I don't know how you put on that, but he shanked the field goal 51 and 32 and 27 yards. So just keep that up, whatever that is. But the one thing that, I mean, how can you call that penalty on Peyton Turner when, you know, you can maybe grab an offensive lineman and you're pulling him, defensive holding. I don't know. I saw the replay like he just fell down. How can they call that play? I think the officials screwed that up overall on that particular play. But, boy, that's some good mojo going there when all of a sudden that maybe, you know, because you consider, like, kickers are making 50-yard kicks plus, you know, going forward and the way the NFL kickers are. But that can work well on your behalf, and all of a sudden you think you have automatic points, but it doesn't occur. And that's what happened the last two games. You don't see that too often, like six missed field goals considering the kickers who have excelled at a high level.
Yeah, listen, I agree, Bobby. The kickers at this level have gotten, you know, in the NFL have gotten so good and so consistent. And obviously we've benefited the last couple weeks from you know, from some misses. Now, I will say this. I think, you know, part of those has to do with our rush. Our field goal rush has been outstanding. We got our hand on a ball against the Falcons. We just missed another one. Great effort again yesterday by that unit. You know, and you guys know, when those guys go and watch that film, the kickers and snappers and holders and the protection guys go watch that film week after week, they speed up a little bit more because, hey, we've got to get it off because these guys are really good at rushing and maybe screws with the operation a little bit. So, listen, I think it's all encompassing. I think it probably goes without saying that I didn't agree with the call on Peyton Turner. I think probably everyone probably saw that. So I don't have to really elaborate on that too much. But, yeah, I didn't think that was a penalty. And fortunately for us, they missed the next one. So there's that old expression, ball don't lie, right? So I think we got a little ball don't lie there at the end.
Coach, you signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling back on October 15th, but he didn't play right away, and he and Derek had some time together. But, and you look at last week, he had in a five-play span last week in the second quarter, three receptions, 109 yards, two touchdowns, and then in the second quarter again, 71 yards. He's got five receptions, three touchdowns, averaging 33.5 yards per reception. I mean, is it that kind of – he feels like he and Carr kind of in step. You know, they're not doing it 10 times a game, but, I mean, it just feels like that deep threat is what this team, you know, with no Olave, no Shaheed, Valdes-Scantling's been that guy.
Yeah, and well, I mentioned the explosive plays, you know, when your opponent – has explosive plays, the only way to neutralize that is you got to have some yourself. And listen, you know, MBS, he's done a phenomenal job coming in here, you know, midstream, learning the offense, providing the spark, as he likes to call it, a little sauce. He likes to call it the sauce. Him and I joke around about that. I always call it the juice. He likes to call it the sauce. But he's provided a lot of sauce for us. And listen, now that he's become a weapon, a deep threat, a big play threat, it changes the offense. And I think Clint and the offensive staff have done a really nice job the last two weeks of utilizing him and putting him in positions where, you know, even a couple of those balls that we didn't connect on down the field, those are plays that the defense and the opponent has to be leery of and make sure they defend. And so that opens up a lot of other things. And you know, when Olave, obviously, and Shaheed went down, you're worried about, you know, we really don't have that, you know, take the top off the coverage kind of guy, that speed element, whatever you want to call it. And he's provided that the last couple of weeks. And what you're seeing is it opens up a lot of other facets of the offense. And you know, we've had a lot of guys get their hands on the ball here the last couple of weeks, and that's great. That's the more we can do that, the better. Derek's done a great job distributing the ball. But no, you got to give a lot of credit to Scantling. He's done a really nice job, and hopefully he can continue to do that, stay healthy, and continue to do that and provide that for us.
Got to take our first break, talking with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi and Bobby Hebert as well. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Back after this. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Our visit with head coach Darren Rizzi, and it's brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach, along with Bobby Hebert. And Coach, Bobby and I are about the same age, so I don't like to do an age thing, but we started with Taysom being at 34, and you talked about that first drive, the turnover on downs. That was DeMario Davis, 35, 13 tackles, tackle for a loss, two passes defense, and then Cam Jordan. If you go back to Carolina, he had 10 defensive snaps, career low, but really since then in the Atlanta game and then this week, sack, tackle for a loss, couple of quarterback hits, and a ton more snaps. Just kind of talk about those two guys. And, you know, this is kind of Cam's time. If you look throughout his career, he gets better as the year goes.
Yeah, I agree. And the last 2 weeks, I think Cam's played, you know, his best football of the season. I think the game plans the last 2 weeks were, you know, really conducive to, you know, Cam being in there, and he was a big reason that, you know, that they didn't run the ball that well. You know, listen, you know, you have guys like Cam and DeMario, obviously, two veteran presence, two phenomenal, guys to have in the locker room, just great leaders. And when those guys are setting the tone and making plays, man, everybody kind of follows suit. And so it's for our group, for our team, for our organization, those guys have just been phenomenal. And really these last 2 weeks, those guys have really stepped up, not only on the field, but off the field. And their leadership is felt throughout the building. It's great to see them both have success. You know, you talk about, you know, we have, those older guys, we have a little bit of a unique locker room right now because we have a really interesting mixture of, you know, veterans and younger players. And so there's a lot of younger guys, first and second year guys. And when you have guys like DeMario and you have guys like Cam and you have guys like Taysom, the guys that you mentioned, these older veteran players, and here's guys that are just doing it right. And going through and being professionals and then also having success, it's a big deal. And so kudos to all three of those guys.
Now, Coach Rizzi, looking at Taysom Hill, now we got to talk about him. We've talked about him a number of segments, but, you know, all-purpose yards, whether it's kickoff returns, whether it's throwing, receiving, rushing, 248 yards. And I wish I'd have been in that damn press conference and he was talking to you, and you brought up Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. Probably people don't even know his nickname was the Galloping Ghost. I can even go back to Jim Thorpe, the Native American, but I look at Frank Gifford. I mean, Frank Gifford. We all watched the beginning of Monday Night Football. You think who was on Howard Cosell and Don Meredith and all that? And I say, look at NFL history. Only two players have done this. All of NFL history. We love the NFL. You talk about 100-plus years. Only two players in NFL history have 30-plus rushing touchdowns, 10-plus receiving touchdowns, 10-plus passing touchdowns, and that's Frank Gifford and Taysom Hill. I know he's married to Kathy Lee, but that was in the latter part of his life. You know, Kathy Lee's famous. But Frank Gifford and what he did and Taysom Hill, the youngsters, we got to educate them because they don't realize who Frank Gifford was and what Taysom Hill has actually accomplished. Not at the high school level or college level, but this is the National Football League. This is history.
Yeah, I think I said this last week, Bobby. Anytime you talk about, you know, you use the expressions all time, and, you know, we used that with Alvin last week. When you, every time you mention that all-time leading rusher in the organization, and then anytime you mention the word ever in the NFL, this is only the second time ever. And, you know, listen, I grew up, I think you guys know, I grew up in the New York area. I grew up in North Jersey and grew up a Giants fan. So obviously I'm very familiar with Frank Gifford. And so, and I watched all those Monday Night Football games, just like you growing up with Frank and Don Meredith and Howard Cosell. And yeah, listen, some of the things Taysom is doing currently is remarkable. And I'm a big football historian. I love comparing guys to the old guys. I love doing that. You know, we had all of our alums in this weekend, you know, because obviously Jari went into the Ring of Honor, and to have all those guys out of practice on Saturday, you know, I love stuff like that. You know, and a bunch of the Saints legends were around and got to announce some of those guys at our practice, and, you know, Dalton Hilliard and Willie Rofe and, you know, all these guys. The list goes on and on and on. And, I think it's awesome. And I agree with educating the younger guys about some of these former guys, because, it's one of those things where I think, like, you may not appreciate it until, and I hope Taysom plays for a lot longer, but people may not appreciate it until he's done.
Coach Rizzi, the one thing is that when I look at with Taysom Hill, where he's at, and just being part of the team concept, I think he's an outstanding citizen on and off the field. But you know what? The one thing, and I think you're a big part of this, and the fans have noticed this, they embrace this, is that how the players respond to you, how the passion and the emotion that you have for a game, for the game. And I thought Taysom Hill said finishing games. How in the hell we lost to the Eagles the first game and their first Atlanta game? You know, when you looked at it, when you reflect back on the season, look, how do you finish games? And look how we finish games as of late. That's going to be the case. Hopefully we finish at a high level to win against the Rams. But finishing games is something we struggle with. This is Taysom comment, but he says Coach Rizzi has been a really good pulse on the team and what we need collectively as a team to get ready for a football game. Then the guys obviously have to respond to that and to be able to execute. So you look at a parity. I don't know. Did you block the kick? Did you make the kick? Who won the game? I mean, you look at them, when how you close, how you finish games. Now, it's a cliche, the fine thin line between success and failure. But look at the National Football League, how you feel about whether you won or lost the game. And it goes down to how did you finish the game. Think about where we'd be at right now. Probably Dennis Allen would still be the head coach if we beat the Eagles or Atlanta the first time around. But you in that situation. So you can control what happens on the back end to motivate the players, whether you're going against the Rams, Giants, Raiders, whether the Commanders, whoever it might be, in Tampa Bay to close out the season. But it's amazing how many NFL games come down to that fourth quarter and how you finish the game, whether you win or lose.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Bobby. And when you look at the stats at the end of the year, the teams that are playing in the playoffs in the tournament at the end of the year are going to be the teams that usually have the best records in one score games. And that's something we didn't do well. Again, when I took over, you know, I tried to look at, all right, what are the things that are tangible things that we need to get better at that are just obvious? We brought up a few of them, but, you know, as a team, you know, we just weren't finishing games off and, you know, during that stretch. And you mentioned a couple of them. But, and so, you know, like you just asked, how do you work on that? Well, listen, I think like finishing like anything else is a habit. So how do you finish off your practices? How do you finish off the drills we're doing? How do you finish off the team period? How do you finish off your day when you're in the building? Are you watching film? You know, how do you finish off your week? So finishing becomes a habit, and what I've tried to instill these last couple of weeks and with the rest of the coaches is just finishing everything and making that become a habit. And I think that's what Taysom, you know, was alluding to. And I think the guys have bought into that, and they've really, you know, you hear the guys on the sideline in the fourth quarter, everybody finish. But it starts with finishing a drive, and it starts with finishing out the half, and start, you know, and so that's really, really important. And you're right. I mean, just think about the last 2 weeks, right? You know, Denver loses to Kansas City on the last play block field goal. Chicago loses to Green Bay on the last play block field goal. And that's just a couple of games that come to mind. I know last night that the Chargers Denver game came down to the end. The Seattle San Fran game, Geno Smith has a touchdown run. That comes down to the end. So you're right. There's so many games that come down to those last possession or two, and the teams that finish the best and the closeout games are the teams that are going to be there in the end. That's just the bottom line.
Need to take a break. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Austin, Bobby Hebert. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beat. Just a couple more minutes, Coach. You brought up Dante Pettis and Kevin Austin again, practice squad elevations. And in that change week pre-Atlanta, it was kind of like starting from scratch, you said, with the wide receivers. Like, all right, cats, go out there. Whoever earns the right to play is going to play. And Pettis and Austin were both brought up last week as well. But Pettis, man, from a punt return standpoint, you know, he had 9 touchdowns in college, and he's an inch away from a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, he sure was. What a big play in the game. And, you know, we had a tough decision there to make towards the end of the week just with the roster and who was going to be up for the game, the actors and all that. And we decided to go with Dante as the punt returner this past game. And, you know, what a huge play by him. And so, he also had a really big third down conversion, broke a tackle, got and moved the chains. That was a big play in the game. And then Kevin Austin also had the, a nice catch there and some really good blocking by him during the run game. And so, yeah, listen, we've tried to make it a competition out there with that receiver group. It's a younger group, a lot of new names, but guys that are practicing their butts off and competitive, and hopefully we can keep that going. You're right, Dante had a great college career as a returner, and so we saw a little bit of that yesterday, which is really cool for him.
Now, Coach Rizzi, how much explain to the fans you could take from last season into this season? Now, they're not in the NFC South, but we're playing the Rams in back-to-back seasons after the bye week. Man, we got exploited, to say the least. We got torched. I mean, Alante Taylor struggled. I think you learn from those type of games. But you look, okay, now Marshawn Lattimore, I think he's the greatest Saints cornerback in history. He now is with the Washington Commanders. Paulson Adebo was playing at a high level. A little handsy at times, getting those penalties. But he's out for the season. So Alante Taylor, top cornerback. Ugo Amadi is taking advantage of his opportunity. And then you look at Kool-Aid McKinstry. I want you to talk you think of Kool-Aid's availability against the Rams. But I'm telling you right now, and I'm just trying to keep it real, that the Rams and Matthew Stafford, they think they can exploit our secondary. I think you're going to have to do some kind of game plan to figure out, considering what happened last year, how they might attack us. And now, you know, you want to stop the run run the football, but we got to exploit it. You know that game that happened in L.A.? I'm looking at that game and go, man, we had no chance to beat them that game. And it was very discouraging. So which can you enlighten the fans after the bye week against the Rams? Now, I don't know who's playing and all that. And it looks like they have Cooper Kupp and, what's his name? Nuka, what's his name? Puka, yeah. And he's available. So that's a big challenge for us, what we're going to try and do to stop them.
Well, I agree with you on a couple things. Number one, they're definitely a challenging group. They got a really good quarterback, excellent receivers, and a really good play caller and their head coach. And so anytime you play those guys, from a defensive perspective, they're definitely going to challenge you. And the second thing I'll agree with you on is, no, we didn't play well last year. And we didn't play well as a team, to be honest with you. When you look back at that game, I know a lot was made about the defense. Certainly, you know, they had a bunch of yards. But, you know, we didn't play a great game overall. Our offense could have done a better job of controlling the ball a little bit, keeping those guys off the field. You know, we have to play complementary football against them. And I think one of the, you know, a few of the keys to that game are going to be, you know, just what you said and just what I said. Number one, we got to play better overall as a team, all three phases. And then obviously we're going to have a great plan going in to affect the quarterback and to keep those receivers off balance.
Well, Coach, you get the bye week, get some time off, get everybody rested, and then get that momentum back in a couple of weeks. December 1st, Superdome, the Rams. Appreciate your time, as always. Continued success.
Appreciate you guys. Always good to catch up with you.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we will talk with Saints offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. Talk about the day for Taysom yesterday and all of that offense ahead. That's coming up next. We're back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. Back after this. Welcome back. Let's go now behind the scenes with this week's Saints assistant coach, brought to you by Rouse's Market Shop. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. And that is first-year offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. How you doing, Coach?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm doing great.
Well, we appreciate
having me on.
You bet. We appreciate it. And so, I guess just overall, you know, you have Taysom. We watched Irvine, you know, all the practices, but yesterday it just felt like there was so much more pass catching, everything, motion. Was that more of what you saw as a plan for Cleveland, or just kind of just give me your impression and thoughts about why it felt like, anyway, we saw a lot more Taysom than we had seen?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just some plenty of things we've been working on for a while that, you know, as the game unfolded the way it did and Taysom was playing the way he's playing, you know, he just wanted to keep giving them opportunities. I know that there were some things that happened early in the game, you know, like, for instance, there's an interception that is 100% on me. You know, there's a coverage there that I could have spent a lot more time talking with Taysom about, and I didn't. You know, I put him in a tough position there. But everything else, I mean, he had the hot hand, so excited about rolling with him. And, you know, his teammates were playing well too, but for every reason, the ball just kept finding him, and he made the most of his opportunities.
And, you know, Coach Kube, as far as the ball following him, fans have asked me this, and I said this in training camp. I don't know. He's 34 years of age, and we ain't saving nothing. I mean, he's well compensated. Maybe he could get a little more, but he's well compensated. I'm like, we got to ride that horse, ride that pony. And I've said, like, in the past, maybe he had, I don't know, 10 to 12 touches. I think he's at the point. 18 to 20 touches. Now, obviously, I think we might have been training in that direction. Then, you know, he's kicking ass against Atlanta on the road, and then he got a bruised lung, and then, you know, you want to utilize him, then he got broken ribs or whatever. So, there, you know, fans have asked me, Bobby, if he's so good, why we never heard about him at Brigham Young? Because he was hurt. But he's been unbelievable. So he's like sometimes his worst enemy because he's so aggressive. But, you know, I say like, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, like running, throwing and catching can do everything. But you want to get his hands on the ball. So I think Drew Brees didn't have a problem with this. Derek Carr didn't have a problem with this, whether it's QB power or putting him at quarterback. But is there a case in point? Because to me, if Taysom Hill was healthy, shame on us if you don't have 18 to 20 catches. I mean, 20 touches. Now, I could see if he's hurt, that's a different animal. But if he's healthy, I think he's that dynamic of a player, and that's almost double. You say 10 to 12, 18 to 20. I think you might agree with that right now because we got to maximize how we can utilize Taysom Hill considering his age. He's not 24, he's 34. Now you got to think about if we playoff relevant come December and all that. But I'm like, you know, I used to say this. Less of Drew Brees is more. I don't want Drew Brees throwing the ball 40, 50 times. I want it to be able to keep defenses off balance. Might be high 20s or low 30s. But I'm at the point right now, no, not less of Taysom is more. More of Taysom is more. Give Taysom the damn ball, especially if he's healthy.
Yeah, well, shoot, I can't disagree with you. I think yesterday was a great example of that, and he's just such a special player, and it's really, really fun to be around him every day and see the way that he works and see the type of a teammate that he is. He's a really impressive guy and really, really fortunate to get to coach him.
Hey,
now, how fortunate did you feel? I said, this is what you expect, maybe. Whether it's Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Jordan Mims, whoever's running the football, that instead of averaging 3.5 yards a run, I thought that was outstanding. I said, we got to flip that script. I even look at Atlanta, we won the game. I don't know about that. Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? Well, we stopped the run against the Browns, You know, I'm a big Nick Chubb fan. Now, considering the adversity he's faced, now he still averaged 4.5 yards a run on 11 carries, but they only got 3.3 yards a carry. But we were able to average because of the explosive runs by Taysom Hill. And Kamara was over 4 yards a carry, but 7.6. I can tell you right now, if we average 7.5 yards a run against the Rams that only give up 3.5, we're going to win the game. I just have that much confidence, Coach Kubiak. If we do that, one number right there, we'll beat the Rams.
Yeah, I think anytime we can run the ball effectively and that you know, 7 yards of carry, I think any coach would take that all day. That'll open up a lot of things in your offense. And, you know, great to have our center back last week. He was a big part of that. I think the last couple of weeks the guys have, you know, I think have been really improving and put some good things on tape. And I'm happy they get a little rest here and then get to go back at it for the Rams in 2 weeks.
Coach, what kind of impact from a play calling, game planning standpoint was having McCoy? Because you had basically kind of four of your five from Irvine. Now, I know Eric, you know, he's the bye week and the groin, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But just pre-Cleveland in the game plan, having him back, how did that impact your play calling?
Yeah, well, I think it impacted the whole offense, you know, just the energy of practice. You know, you can just feel the excitement with the guys. You know, you just see the way we operate it in practice and, you know, just the athleticism that he brings, the leadership that he brings, it just gave us a new jolt of energy. So, you know, we've been kind of slowly getting that jolt the last couple of weeks with more and more guys getting healthy. But, you know, I think Eric McCoy is as good a center as there is in the NFL, you know, and he's best I've been around, and it's because of his athleticism and his leadership. And if you're going to play center in the NFL, you better be a smart guy, and he's as smart as they get, and he gets us into the right calls and does it really effectively. So really happy to have him back yesterday.
Now, Coach Kubiak, I know it's a challenge. You're trying to, as a play caller, you want those chunk explosive plays, and then all of a sudden, Rashid Shaheed, who's performing at a high level, he's out for the season. Chris Olave, considering how we're counting on him as the number one receiver. But how challenging it is, then all of a sudden he comes to the forefront, Valdez-Scantling. I mean, back-to-back plays, I mean, it's like if you're averaging 17.5, 18 yards of reception, like it's off the chart. Well, he's been off the chart with those chunk plays, you know, that long gain of 71 yards, a touchdown. But I want you to comment on that, but also I want you to comment on, because I think they've stepped up, that being the tight end position, to give, you know, Derek Carr an option. That being Foster Morrow and Juwan Johnson. They had 7 targets, 6 receptions, 80 yards. Again, I would take that going forward from that position. If you can tell me they're going to get 6 catches, 80 yards, and maybe a touchdown like Juwan Johnson, that's a winning formula from that tight end position.
Yeah, you know, our tight end room is really impressive, really well coached too. Clancy Barone does a great job getting those guys ready to go. Really enjoyed being around Foster and JJ and just seeing how they've really helped our offense go. You know, they're a critical piece to the whole picture, especially in the run game. A lot of credit to our scouting department, you know, getting us MVS and even bringing on Pettis. You know, those are two guys that have really stepped up for us the last couple of weeks. And that we're now counting on, you know, in addition to Kevin. So, you know, we've had some guys go down, and we found some dang good players that have been great contributors. And, you know, I'm proud of the way that Keith Williams, our receiver coach, has really brought those new guys along. It's not easy to do that in the middle of a season. And he's a heck of a coach, and, you know, those guys are lucky to have him as their coach.
Coach, Derek Carr's talked about his play, and, you know, he had just the one sack, no sacks in the Atlanta game. He's not been sacked more than once in any game this season. He kind of felt like he was 21-27, 248, that he's really kind of playing the best that he's played. I mean, I don't think you're going to contradict that, but I was curious as to your assessment.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that you see, you know, major difference when he goes in the game, and just the way that we operate, and he's been tremendous even from the off season. of picking all this stuff up. And I just can't say enough good things about him. You know, I think yesterday, you know, when the game was getting pretty tight and we needed him to play at his best in the fourth quarter, I thought he did some really good things. You know, you know, he led the team to three scoring drives in the fourth quarter, and that's when the quarterback has to be at his best. So that's what I was most proud of him yesterday is, you know, we get into that third quarter and, you know, things aren't going too well in the third quarter, and then he makes a huge play on third and long to scramble versus two men and hit Taysom on the sideline using his mobility, and that really sparked us. So I was excited for DC because he works his tail off and was happy to see him have success yesterday.
Now, Coach Kubiak, last one before we let you run. I mean, all you're doing is trying to call plays, run the offense. What's the difference between, the fans want to know this, Dennis Allen and Coach Rizzi? I mean, did they say, I don't know, just do what you have to do, just make the offense a success? I mean, is that the approach? Because people think like, the head coach is in your head telling you, no, this is what you need to do on the offense. I'm telling you what? No, that's not the case. Coach Kubiak is running the offense. So I don't care if it's Dennis Allen or Coach Rizzi. That's Coach Kubiak's baby is the offense and what we're doing. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well, I think the number one thing I'd say to you is I'm not a saint without Dennis Allen, so I'm really grateful for him and really enjoyed working for him. And I think Coach Riz has done a fantastic job, and we both with both of those guys, we all work together. You know, it's a team thing. We both talk on the sideline the whole game. We talk throughout the week, and whether we have success or we don't, we do it together. And both of those guys are excellent leaders and coaches.
Well, Coach Clint Kubiak, we appreciate your time. Continue to roll with the hot hand. Take some time off. Come back and get ready for the Rams, and just keep it moving. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you all. See you.
Saints offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. Got to say goodbye to Bobby. Thank you, Bobby, as always. And when we'll come back, we'll talk with Mike Dettillier. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettillier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Mike, I think we were all, you know, Saints fans were Denver Bronco fans yesterday. Sean Payton helped out big time. Yeah, thumping the Falcons 38-6. He must, you know, somebody said in the building, hey, Sean, you know, it's Falcons week, right? Unfortunately, he's done that to the entire division, Saints included. But that puts Atlanta at 6-5. That was a big win for Denver yesterday and a big win for the whole NFC South, Saints included.
Well, he knows how to beat Atlanta. That's all I know. He's done it enough when he was with the Saints. I think they had a poll one time in Atlanta, the most hated people in Atlanta. I think he came out 8th or 9th, Mike, that, you know, during that heyday of those rivalries between the Falcons. But, man, this defense is so good. It's sort of an unnamed defense. Not a lot of big stars there. Certainly Patrick Surtain, he is who he is. But a lot of people would have trouble telling you the next two guys on the team. They have really played great. And I think his offense built around Bo Nix and what he can do well and how he can kind of translate that. It's a lot of easy throws. He's not trying to make it complicated for Bo. And, man, Bo has really stepped up because – Mike, I'll be honest, I didn't think he played that well against the Saints. He missed 3 or 4 open receivers, and I'm talking about wide open guys. But since that game, Bo Nix has played pretty well. And you got to compliment Coach Payton for that, of getting him ready to play in the NFL. We saw it last year with C.J. Stroud. We certainly are watching it with Jaden Daniels. But we also now watching it with Bo Nix in Denver. And most people, other than little Jordan Humphrey, because, you know, he played with the Saints. And trust me, you couldn't name a lot of the other guys that he's throwing the ball to.
You're right about that. And Atlanta, like the Saints, week 12, they're off. So they're 6-5, Saints 4-7, and both off for week 12. Now, let's go on to the next opponent, brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, First in Service. And, man, the Rams have been, you know, such a tough start, 0-2, 1-4, They win yesterday in New England, 28-22, to win four of their last five. And so now they're not off next week. So they're home against Philly. So they're going to be 5-6 or 6-5. And if they're 6-5, they're going to be one of the hottest teams in the NFC that comes into the Superdome in a couple of weeks.
I hope it ain't a repeat of what we saw last year when you played the Rams, Mike. Matt Stafford was unbelievable in that game. I mean, and when you watch Matt, a lot of his throws aren't conventional. It's not right over the top. A lot of it is three quarters, sidearm, halfway. But, man, he gets it between arms and hands so well. And when he's got a healthy Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, man, you got something there. And last year, Kyren Williams really ran the football well, former Notre Dame running back. So you know what you're going to get here. No Aaron Donald, but, you know, used their first two picks. Florida State defensive lineman and Jared Verse, who I think is a really good football player. And Fisk does a nice job in the middle, controlling things, and he's athletic. You got to affect him, Mike, from a defensive standpoint. You just can't let Matt Stafford throw the football. But I think a lot of that has to do with if they can run it, then they got you in the rocking chair. And I thought last year, Kyren Williams really played a big part in them being able to throw the football because of the fact they ran the football so well against the Saints. It's a big matchup, and, you know, you're missing some corners out there, so they're going to try to take advantage of that. You got to put pressure on Matt Stafford and stop the run.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, interesting if you're in the state of Texas. Houston 6-4, Dallas 3-6, but Houston's lost two straight to the Jets and Detroit. The Cowboys have lost four straight, Detroit, San Fran, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. So this is an interesting game tonight. And here's how I look at it from here on out. You got an AFC team playing an NFC team, you root for the AFC.
That's the way I look at it. And, you know, the good thing with the Texans, they get Nico Collins back, okay, at wide receiver. Man, he's a big-time player. And because you lost Stephon Diggs to an injury, and, man, they run the ball. I think, to me, they're not giving the ball to Joe Mixon enough. That's what I would try to do. Man, the Cowboys ain't stopped nobody running the football, Mike. And we saw that game, too. They still trying to tackle the Saints running backs. I would run the football a lot with Joe Mixon. But, man, Collins, being back in the lineup, he means a lot to them. And they're aggressive on defense. Man, they fly to the football and make plays. So, I expect the state champ will be the Houston, Texas tonight, a little bit later on. They'll be the champs.
Like what you've seen thus far in these two games with Coach Rizzi, as they've kind of bought into this 1/11th message of his, and you just feel like, I mean, Alvin Kamara is Alvin Kamara, but he had 67 yards rushing, another 22, you know, receiving, and, you know, Taysom just was out of control, but just feels like this team has got a little extra pep.
That's what winning does. I think you got a little step in the pep, so to speak, or pep in the step, and you see it. They got some confidence, Mike. I don't ever believe in momentum. I believe in confidence, though. They confident. They're going to get put in the right spot to make plays. And when you see offensive line keep Eric McCoy healthy, Taysom Hill healthy, and MVS, another big play guy, and he's catching the ball consistently here. So I like that part of the game.
It has been fun to watch. And now, you know, take a week off, get a little healthy, and the Rams come in. Mike Dettillier, as always, appreciate your time. You're the best.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You bet. My thanks to Bobby Hebert as well at the Silver Slipper Casino. And, of course, Saints head coach Darren Rizzi and offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight. Got a week off, the bye week, but then it's week 13, December 1st. We start December against the Rams. Thanks for listening here to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network.